This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to episode 14 of Strong Style History here on Place to Be Nation, the Pro Wrestling Only Board podcast feed. I am your host, Jeffrey Wessel. I run the Strong Style Story blog at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. We also do the Strong Style Story podcast, also heard on Place to Be Nation, the Pro Wrestling Only Board podcast feed. And you can find me on Twitter at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. With me today is our usual producer, but not usual co-host. It's been a while since he's been on, actually been on the show. Chris Damasceno returns to the program today. Chris, how are you today?
Doing good. It's been a little while since I've actually been on the co-hosting side of things and not editing this accordingly in editing hell, trademark. But fun to be here for one of these for once where I'm actually able to speak into the microphone. So let's get to it.
Let's get to it. Yes, we actually kind of for once gave away what the topic was going to be on the previous program. But yeah, so as we record this on the 17th of June in 2018, in 2 days will be the retirement ceremony and tribute match for Junji Harada, Super Strong Machine, at the tender age of 61. Of course, Harada is in no physical condition to be able to actually wrestle in his retirement match, so he is sending five different representatives in a 10-man tag match against the team of Los Ingobernables de Japón, which, of course, are Tetsuya Naito, Evil, Sonata, Bushi, and Hiromu Takahashi. But in this case, the lineup is several different Super Strong Machines, including Super Strong Machine Ace, Super Strong Machine Buffalo, Super Strong Machine Justice, Super Strong Machine Don, and Super Strong Machine number 69. Now, if you're familiar with current New Japan Pro Wrestling, you can pretty much guess who will be under these masks. However, we're not here to talk about them today. We're here to talk about the man himself, Junji Harada. So, Chris, if you're ready to go on this?
Yeah, about as ready as I'll be, to be honest. I'll easily admit that as somebody who's still sort of on the fairly new side of the fence, not really getting into New Japan officially until 2012, which was kind of we didn't see as much of him then, but really his activity kind of stopped in full at around 2014 after Wataru Inoue's retirement, but outside of that,
ironically, another retirement. Ironically, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But a lot of it just his history-wise is sort of at an era that is a little bit before a lot of new fans. So it's kind of best we just kind of start at the beginning, Jeff, if you will.
Yes. Yeah, so Junji Harada, born on the 20th of December, 1956, made his debut in New Japan Pro Wrestling against probably one of the people you would least want to have your debut against, Yoshiaki Fujiwara, who even in his advanced age still scares the hell out of people to wrestle against. But yeah, so he went through the training, he went through the dojo process, and then in November 1982 he left on overseas training expedition. He first went to Mexico for a little while, but then would end up in Stu Hart's Stampede Wrestling, and it was here that he created his Super Strong Machine persona. But I don't think many people realize he also used a another gimmick as a First Nations gimmick named Sunny Two Rivers. The racial politics of professional wrestling in 1982 are not really anything you want to praise by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, to say they age well is would just be wrong.
Yeah, but so yeah, not exactly something you want to not exactly something you want to go back to, but so in any event, but you know, it was where what it was, and he would remain in Stampede through 1980. He would through 1983 into 1984, and then would come back to New Japan Pro Wrestling for a couple of years until April of 1986, when he and Riki Choshu moved on to All Japan Pro Wrestling for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Nice little cup of coffee there.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, that cup of coffee lasted all of, you know, for most of 1986, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But then in in June, he would come back to New Japan Pro Wrestling, and this is where he would find a lot of his most of his success in as we look to it in in March of 1989, after coming back to New Japan for 2 years. Harada, as you know, working as Super Strong Machine, would finally get some gold in professional wrestling, winning the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team titles with George Sakano,
mm-hmm.
beating Masa Saito and Riki Choshu for those titles at the Big Fight Series show on March the 19th of 1989 in Yokohama.
Mm-hmm.
And they would hold those titles for 116 days with one successful defense during that time. They would lose them to Riki Choshu, who by then had a new partner, Takayuki Iizuka, who we now know as Takashi Iizuka in mm-hmm. Suzuki-gun. But you know, but that would only be the first of his IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team reigns. He would win another one in December 26 of 1990, teaming with Hiro Saito.
Which and they would hold. Interesting given the fact that he was the opposition in the first set of reigns that he got, and then he's partnering with him for his second one.
Right, and then you know they only held that for 70 days. They won those on December the 26th of 1990 in Hamamatsu at the King of Kings event. They would only hold those titles for 70 days, two successful defenses before dropping them on March the 6th of 1991 in Nagasaki to the team of Hiroshi Hase and Kensuke Sasaki. But just it should be noted that Hase and Sasaki would only hold those titles for 15 days before dropping them to the Steiner brothers, went on an incredible 29-day reign. But that would not be the last of his reigns. The third and final reign for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team titles for Junji Harada came on July the 13th, 1995. His partner then was Shinya Hashimoto. They won these titles in Sapporo at Best of the Super Junior 2 and would hold them for 335 days, only dropping them on June the 12th of 1996 in Osaka at Best of the Super Junior 3 to the team of Kazuo Yamazaki and Takashi Iizuka.
Crazy, yeah.
With six successful defenses, these were... Now, the story of this reign is kind of interesting. They were vacated. The titles were vacated on May the 6th in 1995, and then Hirata and Hashimoto lost the title decision match to Choten. You know, Masahiro Chono and Hiroshi Tenzan. And then 27 days later, Chono had to vacate the titles because his father died, so he missed the title defense. Titles were vacated, so Hirata and Hashimoto ended up beating the team of Mike Enos and Scott Norton to win the titles.
Huh. Trivia questions out the wazoo here all of a sudden.
Yeah. I think we're going to find that a lot of... I think we're going to find a lot of things with Hirata. There's going to be a lot of trivia questions here.
What moments?
Yeah, right. Hirata has always been kind of a figure that was around. I couldn't actually tell you a great Junji Hirata match, to my shame. But I don't think I could actually come up with one. You know,
you can argue him and Fujinami a while back did have some solid moments here and there, but
I think recently the free match of the week on NJPW World actually was a Fujinami versus Hirata match.
Mm-hmm. So it's one of the situations where, in particular, there may be some other fans out there who easily go, yeah, this particular match that he had was absolutely great. We're unfortunately not on that camp. The main thing that we kind of thought was interesting during this amount of research that we had the time to do was, plain and simply, how many times this gimmick has been blatantly ripped off in all corners of the world, it seems.
Right. Well, let's get into this. Yeah, Yeah, so he started the Super Strong Machine persona in Stampede Wrestling, and would also, you know, use it to great effect in All Japan Pro Wrestling. Well, these were two promotions that both worked with the WWF in 1986. Mm-hmm. They were working with them. Well, it turned out that the WWF came about with their own version of the machines. Big Machine, Super Machine, and Giant Machine. Now, we all know who Giant Machine was.
Kind of obvious, was, given the size. And
yeah, kind of obvious. Yeah, we all know who Giant Machine was. Big Machine was Blackjack Mulligan. Whereas Super Machine was the once and future axe, Bill Eadie.
Intriguing all around.
I remember back when this was a thing actually happening. You know, this was an actual thing.
It was a living memory for you.
It's a living memory, and I never knew about Junji Hirata to begin with.
Good lord.
I know they tried to advertise them as all being from, you know, they were from Japan, which, yeah.
Good luck.
Again, the racial politics in professional wrestling. But, it's oddly enough, in 1984. Hirata tried to do his own version of the machines, like a gimmick of the machines. Strong Machine 2 was Korean wrestler Yang Sung Hee, and excuse me if I'm mispronouncing that because I'm not, you know, I don't, you know Korean very well. And then Yasu Fuji as Strong Machine number 3, but this didn't really go anywhere. And then afterwards, Hirata would turn face, and you know, because that's when he did the Super Strong Machine name, adding super to his name. He was feuding with Sung-hee and Fuji, and then, you know, after Hirata left to go to All Japan and Japan Pro, which is a promotion I'm not very familiar with at all, Yasufuji would end up retiring, and Yang ended up going back to South Korea. So there was that. But it's funny when you mention the fact that this gimmick has been ripped off several times, I'm not sure what the WWF was trying to achieve with the machines, honestly, besides to, you know, give Blackjack Mulligan and Bill Eadie something to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's almost to the fact that, like, they knew that it was that the gig was up when they did the Giant Machine, because later they did Hulk Machine.
Mm-hmm.
One match.
Good
like
Lord.
I'm not entirely sure what the WWF was trying to achieve with this, but I don't think it really worked very well when you get down to it.
Yeah, I think that's a strong argument to make, absolutely. So
but in December of 1994, Hirata was turned on by, you know, the man who would be pretty much the top heel of NJPW for the next 10 years, Masahiro Chono.
Mm-hmm.
And around that time is when Hirata unmasked. You know, he dropped the Super Strong Machine character and began wrestling as Junji Hirata for the first time in a decade. The problem is that Chono would end up coming back to haunt him, because in October of 2000, in an incident that Steve Cash and I described on the very first episode of Strong Style History, when we covered the Do Judge show from October the 9th, 2000, Team 2000 ended up bringing over, they introduced a Mr. T, a.k.a. Team 2000 Machine, who, of course, we know now was Tatsutoshi Goto, under a mask. But if you listen to the audio on that show, Junji Hirata is on that show, and he is absolutely fucking furious.
Just
when Goto comes out with a Team 2000 machine, you know, with a Super Strong Machine mask on,
just loses it accordingly.
He absolutely loses it. So of course there was a brief feud between Hirata and Goto over this, which you know, unfortunately was not really anything of note. So it also says that in the course of Hirata's career, he was Makai number one.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Wow. Yeah, back in the Makai, you know, the Makai Club era of things. So yeah, Makai. Yeah, Hirata was Makai Club number one. Or Makai number one.
Mm-hmm. It's just interesting to see kind of the gimmicks that he's been involved in. The next one that we can touch on, obviously, being Black Strong Machine, which happened in the mid-2000s there, when him and Chono finally settled whatever differences they had between them.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, so... Yeah, and Just so we could go over the Makai Club, Makai Club was Tadao Yasuda, Ryushi Yanagisawa, and, you know, of course, Junji Hirata as Makai number one. Makai number three was Michiyoshi Ohara. Kazunari Murakami was part of this, as was a young Katsuyori Shibata.
There's your familiar names right there.
As well as Mitsuya Nagai. And Ryota Chikuzen was Makai number two. So yeah, this was a thing for a little while. The gimmick was a group of mixed martial artists and fighters mixed martial arts fighters and pro wrestlers who worshipped Antonio Inoki as God.
Oh, God. It always goes back to Inoki somehow. It always does.
Yeah, especially in this era, yes. It always somehow goes back to Antonio Inoki. But, you know, I don't have much against Kazunori Murakami. I have a lot against Tadao Yasuda. Mm-hmm. Holy jeez. Yeah, so this was this was a and Giant Silva was, Giant Silva was even part of this as Daimajin.
What a time.
This was something. Yeah, and of course that unit, all they were ever really able to achieve was Ryushi Yanagisawa winning the Young Generation Cup in 2003. The story of that. That's the story of that unit. But yes, so in 2005, he would redon the Super Strong Machine gimmick as Black Strong Machine as he joined Chono's Black Stable.
Mm-hmm. Joined it accordingly and was part of it for a good amount of time there.
Yeah, so. But then he would also move over to Keiji Muto's All Japan Pro Wrestling as Super Love Machine.
Yep.
Teaming with Arashi with Arashi acting as Love Machine Storm, as well as Gran Hamada as Mini Love Machine.
Yep, which I thought was pretty intriguing, definitely, for the unit researching this. Although it definitely resulted in some success because he did capture the All Asia Tag Team Championships with Ashura in this case.
With Ashurahara. Mm-hmm. Whilst he was, wait, are we sure about that? Yeah. I think that may have been.
That being during the first run that he had prior to
I think we're a little off on that. Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, that was definitely. Yeah, that was in October of '86. So yeah, no, that had nothing to do with the Love Machines.
That's not bad.
Ashurahara is old school Japan.
No, my apologies. That was during the very first run that he had in '86, where they won the titles from Mighty Inoue and Takashi Ishikawa. Had to vacate the titles and because Super Strong Machine left.
He vacated because Hirata went back to New Japan. Mm-hmm. I mean, all we can really say, and at some point he also was the NWA Polynesian Pacific Heavyweight Champion, which sounds like another NWA title.
Yeah.
That you have, Although he also managed to win himself when he was in Stampede. He was the British Commonwealth Mid Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, fair enough.
But not sure what. Well, here, let's look that one up. See, I know we seem a little ill prepared for this, but we also had a day of World Cup football, of disappointing World Cup football for us, the two of us today. So, yes, this was back when he was doing the Sonny Two Rivers gimmick.
Oh,
and he won this particular title off the Cobra. It was George Takano, who he would end up being. Being his partner in New Japan. Of course, Takano also had some bad racial politics. He was under a mask and billed from Uganda as the Cobra.
Good lord!
Holy shit! Okay, what the hell were they fucking thinking up in Calgary?
A part of me doesn't want to know, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, to get back to the facts, Hirata would drop that to Ron Starr in March of '84, mm-hmm. And that would be it for his belts in Stampede. Good lord! Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you look up things for history. Sometimes you just don't want to know. You know?
You do run into certain stuff that makes your eyeballs pop a little bit.
It's like, for real, it's like, well, you know, if we're gonna do history, then, you know, we can't gloss over anything. So no. On this, as far as his final runs, in the late 2000s, he would be founding member of both of another Chono stable called Legend, and then there was the Segigun.
Yep, good old
stable, which was Yuji Nagata, Akebono, Mitsuhide Hirasawa, who would become Captain New Japan, Fale, before he became Bad Luck Fale.
Right, King Fale.
And Wataru, King Fale, Junji Hirata, Super Strong Machine, and, this is the Blue Justice Army, and Wataru Inoue.
Mm-hmm.
And, with that in mind, you know, as time has gone on, of course, you know, Hirata's involvement got less and less. He only wrestled one match in 2011, and that was at the All Together show. You know, mm-hmm. the joint card between New Japan, All Japan, and NOAH for the tsunami relief. In 2012, he only wrestled four matches. In 2013, he wrestled five. And then finally, he only wrestled five times in 2014. The final one being he is Super Strong Machine. They team with Captain New Japan and Yuji Nagata against Minoru Suzuki, Taichi, and Taka at the Wataru Inoue retirement show
mm-hmm.
on April the 2nd of 2014. That was the last time he set foot in a ring.
Yeah, that Blue Army versus Suzuki Gun match there, and yeah, we for the most part just have. For the most part, he's just kind of relegated himself to working behind the scenes now, rather than being anywhere near a squared circle since April 2nd, 2014. So,
yeah. Now, it should be noted that there is one other ripoff of the gimmick that we haven't gotten into yet.
Oh, boy.
And this would be in the DDT promotion, which we all are familiar with as being a bit of a comedic promotion.
Oh, boy.
Yes, oh yes.
We're talking about
it. Yes, we are. We are talking about Super Sasadango Machine, which is actually Muscle Sakai of DDT, wrestling under a green and purple version of the Super Strong Machine mask, while also giving PowerPoint presentations.
The best. Oh, what a time.
And this may be honestly, you know, I think we can almost make the argument that, you know, besides the fact that he's, you know, training, you know, he works as a trainer in the dojo, the fact that he has been lifted so many times might be his enduring legacy, that he has a gimmick that got ripped off a lot.
Mm-hmm. Not just that, but I mean, it's certainly a gimmick that's seen its showings even in popular media as well. I can think back to a certain video game series called Danganronpa, in which one of the murder mystery kind of series, and in one of the particular murders that's committed in the earlier portion of its second game, the perpetrator actually is wearing a Super Strong Machine design mask with the logo and everything on it. So
holy cow, seriously?
Yeah, no, our good friend of the show, Matt Blythe, who's been listening to us since practically our very humble beginnings, was the one who pointed it out when we initially made the announcement that this was happening. He sent it to us over Twitter, actually. So I
holy
figured
cow.
It was definitely worth pointing that out.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
I had absolutely no idea about this.
Yeah, no.
It's a striking design. You have to admit, the Super Strong Machine mask is a striking design.
Mm-hmm. just very a very nice kind of unique look to it. Where yeah, it's a luchador mask, but it has enough of a difference where like, yep, you recognize them right off the bat, and those are usually the best masks when you can tell right off the
Actually,
bat
in a
who it
lot
is.
of ways, in a lot of ways, that's actually that design has actually become almost the default for like a luchador type mask trying to do a Japanese type character, because you can even look at like, say, Kamitachi's mask has that sort of, that sort of look to it. Oh wait, hold on, we got a I'm getting a live feed here of this mask, and hold on a second. I gotta look at this. We're kind of going on.
A little expedition, if you will.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, that does look like that does resemble it quite a bit. How did I miss this tweet? Because it was to me too, but I missed it somehow.
Sometimes it happens, but yeah, just. And I guess that's my mistake. I should say not so much the second game, but the very first one of the series, rather. So.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it just seems like, that sort of design for Japanese characters if you're wearing a mask in Lucha, that just seems like almost a default type design. Because like, you can see it in like Kamitachi. You can also kind of see it in when Yohei Komatsu and Sho Tanaka were first announced as Raijin and Fujin, they had masks that they ended up never wearing for one reason or another, but you could see that kind of look to it. And it's just it, but again, I mean, just looking at the Super Strong Machine mask, it like I said, it's a very striking design. You know,
Definitely agree in that regard.
yeah, I mean, it's I mean, just the eye and mouth placements and the lightning bolt on the mask too. Like I said, it looks, I mean, it has a good look to him. I mean, and you're looking at, and I just found a picture of I just found a picture of the machines with, Lou Albano, and yeah, it looks just like Harada's mask,
Yep, there you go. Just it's one of those deals where it's, as you mentioned, an iconic design and character that it's seen its parodies and like alternate changes to it as well, and just it's
Right.
really interesting.
And let's not forget, in the in 2000 and such, doing, false versions of characters was kind of the in thing. Because if you remember, if you look in like Michinoku Pro at the time, they had the imposters invader, like Sasuke the Great, Masked Tiger. And then they were a heel unit, and I know other places have done that. And I mean, even look at the original Octagon and the original Pentagon. I believe they all came about around the same. I mean, I believe they were around the same time too.
It's
Pentagon came. The original Pentagon came out in 1995 as like a as a villain, as a copycat villain of Octagon. So, and we're obviously talking about the original Pentagon, not Penta Cero Miedo.
Which, yeah, the more well-known version to Western audiences these days.
I definitely say so. Well, yeah, I mean, because remember, he was Pentagon Junior for a good while.
Then Pentagon Dark, which is still the same at current Lucha Ground lore, so, but
Yeah,
neither
but I
here nor
mean,
there.
on the U.S. Indies, he's Penta Cero Miedo. But anyway, we digress. So yeah, I mean, again, I don't know how much actual accomplishment. I mean, he held the IWGP Heavyweight title. Excuse me, tag team titles 3 times. He won, various. He won a few belts here and there. I think really his influence would be his look and his character more than his actual wrestling.
Yeah, between that and then also just all the work he's done as a trainer on the dojo as well, especially considering the latest crop of characters we've had. So, or rather,
Right.
the latest crop of trainees we've had, excuse me.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of them have been, characters too, but that's neither here nor there. So, yeah, but I mean that's a good overview. I mean, again, if you look on NJPW World, you can find some of his matches. They just recently did the free match of the week, and in fact, it might actually still be up as the free match of the week. Maybe not by the time we post this, but yeah, there was a Tatsumi Fujinami against a Super Strong Machine match on there. And again, not everybody in professional wrestling is always going to be a bona fide star. I think he was a star, but not necessarily because of his accomplishments, but just because, again, of his character. And sometimes that's all you really need in this crazy mix-up business that we talk about.
Pro wrestling is funny like that sometimes.
It really kind of is, it turns out. So, our producer today, of course, is Chris Damasceno, who is joining me today. Chris,
Oh God, I'm going back
introduce
to editing
yourself.
hell again, aren't I?
Yeah,
Well,
you kind of are.
damn it.
Yeah, we let you out of the editing cage for a little bit, but you need to.
Just for just a little, God. No, this is fine. For me, you can just find me on Twitter over at Brazilian Fury. That's Brazilian with an S. Mostly just talk about whatever's in my mind. Mostly the Gramps, video games every once in a while, anime, etc., etc.
Et cetera, et cetera. And of course, we're not trying to diminish anything that Hirata did. It's just, there's he has a big body of work, but I don't know if he really has a notable body of work. But regardless, he's still taking part in New Japan Pro Wrestling even today, and we just hope he has a decent retirement. You can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. The blog is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com, and if you have any interest in the beautiful game of association football, commonly known as soccer on these shores, you can also listen to me at Busting Balls Pod on Twitter, soundcloud.com/busting-balls, and yeah, since the World Cup is going on and all, so. Listen to me grouse about that a little bit. So, on behalf of Chris Damasceno, thanks for listening to this episode of Strong Style History. We hope to be back in the month of July. We don't have a topic this time in mind, but we always like to keep it lively. So, Chris, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
No, nothing in particular that comes to mind. So, again, thanks for listening, everybody.
All right, thanks, and tune in the month of July for episode 15 of this program. Thanks a lot. Take care. Goodbye.